In 2004, Rolling Stone magazine, which is not a magazine I usually reference, but they did a poll of the top 500 songs in American society, and most of them I don't even know what it is. I'm not a secular music guy, but song number two is the one I want to reference today. And it is by Rolling Stone, the group, actually. And it's titled, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Number two out of 500. You guys probably know that song. I've heard it a few times. You dig into that a little bit and you realize that it's talking about contentment. I can't get any satisfaction. I'm just not content. And this maybe is the reason why. The lyrics and the theme kind of pulled people out and people gravitated to that. When you examine our society, if you are, you know, alien from space and came and just watched the things that we see on television and the newspapers and all these things that are so prominent every single day, you will wonder how content and how happy and how satisfied people are with their lives. You know, you're told all the time, if you will get this car, you'll be satisfied. You know, you get these movie stars and celebrities out there, you know, dressing up a certain way, you'll be satisfied. One commercial that cracks me up, I see it, and it's just the most comical commercial to me, but it's pretty good because it obviously caught my attention. This guy's walking down the block, and he's basically saying there's so many problems in life, and I had this problem. How do I get a shirt that I can wear untucked? Really? That's the most important problem you have in your life. And so he's walking around. Gotta say, he looked pretty good with these shirts that untucked. Makes me want to go and buy it, but I'm not sure I want to spend $70, $80 for an untucked shirt. I can do that without buying that. See, this is kind of what it is. We are told all the time how we can be happy and satisfied and content if we only got this. And of course, if you guys are smart, if you Google a little bit, I know you do, you'll find out that some of the most unhappy and uncontented people, someone that just have no satisfaction, are some of the wealthiest people who can drive any car, live in any house, any circumstance, and because of their wealth, they can be dating people that are beautiful. Because of who they are, they can travel anywhere around the world. But they're not happy at all. If you had a secret to contentment and you can sell it, you will be rich. It's just like time in a bottle, another song, you know. If you can actually bottle time in a bottle, oh my goodness, how wealthy would you be? Contentment is one of those things. As we read this passage of scriptures, as we have gone through, this is message number 16 in Philippians. You will find that the Apostle Paul, he had the secret to contentment. And the great thing about it is he gave it to us here. He stated it very succinctly. And there are four particular areas in this passage. And I think if you and I can learn this, live it, yeah, we'll be contented. Absolutely. Let's go with the first one. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. You know, one of the first things that you need to have in your life and to discover in your life is that God is in control of your life. It's interesting that he's thanking the Philippians for giving him this gift. We don't know what the gift is about. We know Epaphroditus came and delivered it. So there's a person that they brought along to help Paul. We also know that it probably has some finances involved in it and other things. But you need to understand something about the Philippians. They were some of the most loving people to Paul. But back in those days, not like now, it's not like you have a lot of loose incomes everywhere, you know? Especially if you in the Christian community, they're probably mostly poor people. And the Philippians had not sent anything to Paul for more than 10 years now. 10 years. It's not like they were sending something every 2 months, every half a year. No, they hadn't sent anything for 10 years already, at least. And suddenly they sent this, and Paul says to them, obviously grateful to them, and he'll talk more about it as we finished the book of Philippians. But you know what? He was thanking God. It was God that gave it to him. You see that? I don't know if you have experienced those kind of things before. You know, when Barbara and I went into seminary and decided to do ministry, there were a lot of choices that we made that eliminated prosperity from our lives. And those of you that are thinking of going to seminary, some of you that are, you know that's it. If you want to get rich, you don't go into the ministry. It just doesn't happen, right? It doesn't happen here. It doesn't happen anywhere. But because of that, we were living hand to mouth most of the time. And one of the policies and core beliefs in my life was that if I had a need, I don't want to ask people for it. Because if I ask people, they will give it to me. I had a good church, I have good friends, I have a good family, they will give it to me. I just didn't want to do that. And so one of the things that we always did, when we had a need, and we had a need often, going through Bible school and seminary and being married young and having children early, we always just asked the Lord. Just gave in to the Lord's hand. And he knew what we needed. And so, you know what, every time it came, anonymous gifts in my mailbox, bags of groceries, and on, he go on and on how many things that God has given to us. You know what, we always knew one thing. It was from God. God bless those people that gave it to us. You know, some people, we don't even know who they are to this day. The kindness of people. And when we didn't know who they are, you know, we thanked them profusely. But we always knew that it was God who knew exactly what we needed. And he demonstrated to us in so many different ways. You know, instead of just an abundance, here it is, boom, you know, a lot. No. He gave very specific to our needs. I can just stand here and tell you all kinds of stories. I remember one particular one when our son was being born, Ryan. We had no money for his clothes either. But you know what? Somebody contacted us. And we were able to get lots and lots of boys' clothes. They were secondhand, but it was from a family that didn't need them anymore. And he was well-dressed. They were nice clothes. And we didn't mind that it was secondhand at all. But God provided for us that our son was able to not just wear the same, you know, pants and shirt every single day, because literally we had so little money that we couldn't buy any clothes for them. We were in seminary, paying tuitions and so on and so forth. But God provided. And that's what the Apostle Paul was telling them. I know it is God. It is God's sovereign hand. And because it's God's sovereign hand, there's never a lack. And so he knew that. And because of that, he was content. See, if you're thinking, oh, my family will take care of me, my friends will take care of me, you never know what's going to happen. And you can't have contentment. You will have worries. The second thing here, he writes, he goes on. And he says, well, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I think it's interesting to know that if you want to be a person who lives with contentment, you have to learn to live with little. You have to be satisfied with little. This is an iconic picture of man praying over his bread and water. Do you know how to live with little? Are you satisfied with little? So how can I be? I live in America. We got lots. Even the little, you know. Even if I'm just, like, unable to work, you know, the government would help me enough. That makes me a rich person in this world, actually. Have you learned how to live with little? If you learn how to live with little, if you're satisfied with little, you are going to discover contentment like you never could. If you thought that contentment comes with having many things or having good things or having the things you want, you will never be content. The Apostle Paul have discovered, he said it, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance, no matter how little I have. He said, how do I do that? How do I do that? Now, some of you may have discovered that once upon a time, maybe we could have learned a little more. Yesterday, we had a movie about, you know, immigrants from China. You know, your parents might have told you things. Maybe you have lived it too, those of you that are a little older. But for the youngsters here, you know, you don't know what that means. You don't know what it is to come, you know, to arrive on the shores of America with a nickel in your pocket or none at all. So you're not sure what it means. You don't know what it is to be satisfied with little. Let me tell you something. You can learn that if you want to. You say, how? I have a good job. Should I just quit my job? No, you don't need to do that. I live in a nice house. What should I do? I have lots of things. I'll tell you what. I've done it before. I've seen people do it. And you can do it too. If you want to learn it, give it away. Have you thought about that? You say, oh, I have that so much money in my bank. How would I ever live little? I can just store it and never use it. No. That's not the same. You always have a backup then. Well, give it away. I don't know if you've ever done that before or haven't thought about it. There are people that do those things. You know, there are lots of Christians that have given away their fortunes because they want to learn to live with little. Barbara and I did it 3 times. Gave it away. All of it. You know what? It taught us about satisfaction. It taught us about contentment. It taught us that we can live with little. We don't have to have so much. We don't have to have those vehicles. We don't have to have all that stuff in the garage or in the closet. We don't have to have that portfolio. You don't have to have it because when you have it, you're never going to understand how to be content without it. Until for some tragedy, it happens to you, and then you are living in a disaster. Paul said, I've learned to live with little. I've learned not only to live with it, but to be happy with it, be content with it. Now, I'm not going to say that something might not happen to you, so that suddenly your fortune is gone. Can happen. I'm going to guess it probably will happen. God is teaching you and ministering your life. But until that happens, if you want to learn it quicker, make some efforts. A friend, Lewis Lee, who's been here before, some of you know him. He has a phrase that I like. I really do like it. He is a guy like that. Because he's Chinese, like I'm Chinese, we have this DNA in us of being cheap, you know? We want to save, right? We do. You got a coupon, I'm going there. That's how it goes. When you go on to eat in Chinatown, you know, whoever has the cheapest dual lobster, you go into that restaurant, you know that. I don't have to say it. It's just who we are. You know, $18.95, I can get it for $18.85. I'm going there. You know that. But he has a phrase, I love it. He says, save more, give more. You know, he's cheap. He wants to be cheap, but he wants to give it away. I love that. Some of you know Francis Chan. You know, one of the things that he did when he left his first church before he became famous was they made a decision not to build this gigantic sanctuary. They want to give it away. They want to give it away to missions. You know that. Even himself, he made some choices. These are choices we make. You know why? Because we have to learn what it means to live a little. Can we be satisfied with a little? Is it okay that we say, you know what? I don't have it. I can't buy that car. I can't go on that vacation. I want to learn to live with it. Some of you can go on very extravagant vacations, and I have done it too. It's great to be going to places like that, you know? Awesome. But you know what? There's some vacations that cost almost nothing and very little. Then you come back, you're like, ah, oh, that's the best time I've ever had. You see, contentment is not about those things. Contentment comes from God. And can we discover contentment? Well, you want to have the secret. First, know the sovereignty of God in your life, that everything that God gives to you is God giving it to you, not someone else. Know that. And he knows exactly what you need. You know? Paul needed that supply. Philippians didn't give it to him, didn't send it to him 5 years early. He needed it then, and they sent it then because it was God who did it. Second thing is, are you satisfied with a little? Can you do it a little? The third thing we find here, he goes on, he describes it. He said, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Okay, so he is content with little things. And then he discovers that any and every situation, it doesn't matter. I am not dominated by circumstance. So here is Paul now. For some people who may look at you, say, you know what, you're a Christian, you shouldn't have this. You're a Christian, you shouldn't live that way. No, that's not what he's saying at all. He didn't say that. He said, if I have plenty, I'm fine. If I have very little, I'm fine. So if you're a rich man, God has blessed you, and you are rich, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You just are going to be accountable to God for what you do with your resources. Let it be known. If you're a multimillionaire, it's not like you're better than someone that makes a simple salary. You are going to be called to the carpet about the millions you have when you meet face to face with the Almighty God. So you better take care of that a lot more. If you have a whole lot less, you don't have to worry as much about your finances. But the Apostle Paul didn't say, you know what, if you have a lot, just give it all away and live poor. There's one phrase, you know, sometimes we want to say, you know, the rich people should give everything to the poor. Because they say, you know, remember Jesus, he said that when he faced the rich young ruler, remember he told him? He said, you can give it all away. That's not what he was saying at all, because if you did that, then all the poor people have to give it back to you. You go back and forth. The point about this is, do not be dominated in your circumstance. If you're living well and your circumstance is fine like that, you know what? You make sure you are good stewards of your resources, but nevertheless, praise God for it. And then if it's all taken away for whatever reason, you know, maybe geopolitical situation or economy, I don't know what. If it's all gone, you're not any different. Because you know what? Now I have little. I'm just as fine as before. Can you be like that? Making sure your circumstance does not dominate you. Now that's a real secret. Because most of the time, circumstances, they dominate us. They change us. Even as I wrote in the family news, I know all of Houston is pretty much mourning today. We hope today will change our demeanor. You know what I mean, the Rockets. If they lose again, we should just change teams, right? But that circumstance, don't let it dominate us in the spiritual realm. Do not. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned the secret. This is a tremendous secret. It isn't a secret that it's a whole secret. No. This is a secret that says this. We must put our trust in the living God. Then the circumstance will never, never determine our demeanor. And finally, I'm going to focus on this again, the next message, a bit more. But he says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Living by divinely given power. What does that mean? Some people take this wrong. They really do. They say, that means, you know what? I'll never be hungry. You know, if something happens and I'm on my deathbed, you know, I'm just going to believe that God is going to heal me. You know, if I don't have a job or I'm really poor right now, I'm just going to believe that God is going to give it all to me. So, you know, sometimes we like to say the verse and differently. It says, I can do all things, which is translated in other versions. That's not what God is saying. That's not what Paul is saying. He's not saying, I can just change all my circumstances. I can do any and everything. This is too heavy for me. I'm going to pray that God will help me lift it up. No, I'm sick. I'm going to pray that God will heal. No, that's not what he's saying. He's basically saying this. He is saying that when I am at the end of my human abilities, when I'm at a place where there's nothing else to go on, I can still go on because my power and my abilities and the way I live and the way I see life is based upon the divine. That God can give me strength still. That no matter how sad I may be, how much I'm grieving today, that God will give me the strength to overcome that. Not to necessarily change the circumstance. Not to necessarily say, you know what, that's not happening. No. God is not telling us to do that. And sometimes theologically in some churches, it's always like, just believe, you know. You're going to be overcomers or whatever. No. It's not about that. It is about, here's a circumstance that God has given to me. And I'm going to trust God in it to allow me not only to be able to do everything in my human power, but because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, because I know the Almighty God, because the Spirit of God lives within me, I am able to live divinely. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I've seen some people that have gone through horrendous situations, things that I can't even fathom. I think one of the toughest deals is always losing a loved one. Especially children. I've gone to funerals of little children. I've gone to funeral where young teenager was shot and killed. I mean, those things are horrendous. And what do? How do you live? How do you go on as a parent, as a spouse? I remember Ruth just hugging me tight. Say, Pastor, what do I do? How do I go on? And I knew words didn't mean a thing at that point. Just a hug. Just knowing that, in time, God will give the strength. And he did. And he does. You know why? Because it is divinely given. And we can do all these things. We can go on, not only go on surviving. One of the things that we do a lot and way too much is we just want to survive. We don't need to just survive. God gives us the strength to be victorious. Huge difference. The Apostle Paul was like that. You know, it wasn't too much longer after he wrote this that he was free. He didn't know. He didn't know whether he would be free or not. He expected it because he felt inside of him, you know, that there's more to do. You can read that when you read Philippians. There's more to do. And he was free. But it didn't change his demeanor of contentment. He was, can you say that? He was just as content in that prison, chained to a soldier, as he was outside, preaching the word of God, being with people that he loved. Can you imagine that? Now that is a secret. If we learn that, think about the life that we could be living. Instead of always hoping something will change tomorrow, instead of worrying that something might change tomorrow, instead we'll be like, things are just perfectly fine right here. And tomorrow will be the same. Because why? I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your promise of your presence and your power, for the fact that we lack nothing when we are in you. Oh, Lord God, would you help us as a church, as individuals, to be able to see beyond what the world tells us, that we need this or that. We don't. We need you. We need your presence. We need the Spirit to walk by us, in us. Thank you so much that you offer that. Would you stand once again?